Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'll tell you what, in addition to all of this, remember, as always, I recommend that you go on the Devil Radio website, download our app, go to the Apple Google Store, download our app, carry Devil Radio with you 24-7 wherever you go, wherever you go. And while you're at it, click on Support Devil Radio. That is a link that you suggested we put up. You know that there are more than 80 right-wing broadcasts going out every day in this state, attacking our democracy, attacking our elections, supporting Trump and the big lie. Devil Radio is one of the few voices and the most articulate voice standing up to that. So thank you very much for listening and for supporting Devil Radio. Okay, here is the deal. There is an issue. Let me get to it right here. I would say that this is a smorgasbord of issues today, but there's one that I wanted to get to right away, and that is, what is the fate of the $1.75 trillion soft infrastructure bill? It's variously been described as the $2.2 trillion, the $2.0 trillion, the $1.75 trillion. That's because all of this is somewhat in flux. Let me unpack it, tell you what the status is. First of all, the hard infrastructure bill passed. Joe Biden signed it. People are going to be put to work. Our bridges, our airports, our roads, water systems are going to be rebuilt. There'll be rural broadband. And we are on the march. Now, with the so-called soft infrastructure, it started out at $3.5 trillion. That was what the progressives wanted, what Bernie wanted, what the progressives in the House wanted, and did a lot of good stuff in it. The fly in the ointments, two flies are in the ointment, Manchin and Sinema, and they have been negotiating in the background. That leads people to believe that maybe they're in good faith, that once it's somehow cut down a bit to suit their demands, that this thing may pass. Okay. It got sandpapered down to $1.75 trillion. Manchin in particular objected to a lot of things. It's down to $1.75 trillion. But at $1.75 trillion, it still is a powerful bill. That's a lot of money. And then remember something. On top of the $1 trillion hard infrastructure and on top of the trillions that were put in COVID to keep the economy afloat, this is the most significant public support of the economy in a long, long time. So, to put it kind of in the vernacular, $1.75 trillion ain't nothing to sneeze at, okay? It ain't nothing to sneeze at. But is it going to pass the Senate? If it doesn't pass the Senate, doesn't make any difference. Doesn't pass the Senate, does not make any difference. And I'm going to go through the challenges, and I'm going to go through what I think is going to happen. And the good news is at the end, I think it's going to pass. Here are the challenges. Here are the challenges. Not a single Republican will vote for it. Not even Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, not even Mitt Romney. None of these people are going to vote for it. None of them. It takes all 50 Democrats or independents who are allied with the Democratic Party, and the independents are Angus King of Maine, Bernie Sanders of Vermont, and they vote with the Democrats. Then Kamala Harris comes in and casts the deciding vote as vice president. So far, so good. So how could this fail? All 50 will go along and everything's hunky-dory. Well, no, it's not as simple as that. Sinema and Manchin are continuing to do their work behind the scenes. So I'm going to go in order in what the obstacles are. The first order is that the Republican Party can put in almost unlimited amendments. There'll be debate for 20 hours, and they all break for lunch, and they all break for this and that. They all pose for the cameras in the hallways. They don't put in a full work day. Then sometimes they go in the evening and all night, and dysfunctional Senate, they'll debate for 20 hours. And 20 hours is a lot of time, and it's going to chew up days. Then there are limitless amendments, and then they face instant votes after those amendments with little or no debate. So what? Why would Republicans put in amendments knowing that they're going to lose because all 50 Democrats will vote against them and Kamala Harris will break the tie? Well, they do it kind of like a mini filibuster. They call it Votorama. It's not a filibuster, because the budget reconciliation process takes it out of the filibuster. The majority can pass it. But a Votorama is a constructive short-term filibuster, just ties them up forever. They'll have to go all night. No Democrat will be able to go home, because if all the Republicans are there, they'll pass something. You see what's going on? They'll have mattresses there. They'll bring in some chow, bring in some coffee. I don't know how the old timers do it. You have Grassley there. My God almighty. You have people. How in God's name do they, you know, keep their eyeballs open? Although a lot of times the Republicans will do a tag team. They know they're not going to win. They'll have some idiot get up and propose some amendments. One of the reasons to do it is you might get one Democrat on some of them. You might get one Democrat on some of them and screw up the bill, and then it'll have to go back to the House to be reconciled and all that. And they're also trying to force Democrats to vote on some tough things, turn down amendments that they will then put in ads in their states saying that they're against this. For instance, they may get up and propose an amendment that has really nothing to do with the budget reconciliation bill in front of them. For instance, that parents should be able to control the school curriculum. What does that mean? I mean, you have professionals running the schools, you have school boards and PTAs. Parents do control it. They decide who's hired as the principal and all that. But you don't want Marjorie Taylor Greene sitting with her crayons and coloring book writing out the physics outline. I mean, you don't want that. But it would look very bad if they said, oh, well, Senator so-and-so, the Democrat, voted against parents controlling the school curriculum without explanation. Without explanation. And all he did is he said, they'd say, well, this has nothing to do with the soft infrastructure. We'll deal with that separately. I do believe that parents ultimately should control it, but I believe that professionals should draft the physics and the history outlines, and then parents decide who are the principals and who's on the school board. That doesn't go into a soundbite. That does not go into a soundbite. Another type of thing they'll put on several of them, that this will give federal benefits for immigrants. Well, it does not do that. But are there going to be a handful of people who have emigrated lawfully to this country who will benefit from some of this? Probably. People who are in line for citizenship? Probably. Very few would qualify. But they will show a surge at the border, or they'll show the Belarus-Polish border with Iraqi immigrants trying to break into Poland without identifying it, and they'll say, illegals will get money out of this, and your senator voted for it. And he or she can hold press conferences and do this or that, but what they're doing is they're pricking the wound here. They're pricking the wound. That's what they're doing. The other obstacle, which is surmountable, is that the Senate parliamentarian has to rule that this bill is financial in nature, and so are all its constituent parts. And by the way, as I'm talking here, I do want to let you know, if you call in with a comment, the phones are down to me. You can hear me. I can't hear you. So you'll have to text your question, or give it to Luke on the phone, and he'll text it to me. So I see the phones are lighting up. I appreciate that. Tell Luke what your question is, and he'll text it. He'll text it. Anyway, the Senate parliamentarian has ruled in the past, for instance, that anything immigration related is not sufficiently financially related to qualify for budget reconciliation. Reminder, budget reconciliation is this special process that avoids Moscow Mitch's filibuster and lets 50 people pass it with Kamala Harris, but at the same time, they can't do it for non-financial things. So the immigration part of this may be ruled out by the parliamentarian. Here's the inside baseball. She can be overridden by the Senate by 50 of them with Kamala Harris. But Manchin won't go along with that, and neither will Sinema. Another immigration proposal in this thing is that for people who are here for longer than 10 years, let's put it this way, they came here before 2011, 10 years ago. They can stay and work if they're gainfully employed in the United States for 10 more years. She's going to rule, in my view, that that is not financially related. And it may come out. You are also going to have an issue with her about whether the lowering the cost of prescription drugs is sufficiently financial in terms of the government's involvement. The other obstacles are Manchin still objects to family leave. He claims he doesn't. It's down to 4 weeks. I don't trust him as far as I can throw him. He could say, no, that has to come out or I'm not voting for it. He has veto power. And Sinema has been called an enigma. And she said, I'm not telling you what I think. And what's an enigma? Sinema the enigma says, what's an enigma? You know, that's cute and not that cute. I'm very, very tired of cuteness at that level. So this is not going to be easy. Schumer and Pelosi are masters. Biden's a master. Some of this stuff will come out. A very, very, very almost $2 trillion bill will get passed. It'll be a great accomplishment. Everybody will be singing the blues on the progressive side. But I'll tell you something, guys. This is a huge accomplishment of yours. Going to a break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Yeah.